large crowds followed him. Right away, a man with leprosy came up and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Reaching out his hand, Jesus touched him, saying, "I am willing, be made clean." Immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. Then Jesus told him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them." You may be seated. Sunday, we were looking at the last verses in chapter 7 and looking at what kind of foundation you're building on. Well, Jesus has finished teaching. He's concluding it with a call to apply. Apply what he's taught. He's taught about who he is, what the attitude we need to have to be saved is, and compared hypocrites to those that are true believers. Hypocrites are those that are doing things for the wrong reason, just to be seen by people, not to be approved by God. And then he gives the illustration. Those that hear my words and apply it, they're like a person that built a house. He dug down deep and got a solid foundation built on the rock. But those who hear the words and don't apply it, it's like the person that built his house without a foundation on sand. Both houses had storms come. Both houses had heavy rain. Both houses had wind. Trouble had come to both houses. The one that stood in the trouble was the one that was built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Noah, not Moses. Moses we'll talk about later. Knows it. Yeah. Let me get a drink. Actually, Noses sounds worse than Moah. Okay. Moah and Noses. Noah. God said, there's going to be judgment coming on the earth. Build an ark. And Noah believed God and built an ark. He just didn't listen to what God said. He took action based on what he believed. Now, Jesus tells us to take action. And in the letter to James, chapter 1 and verse 22, it says, "But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves or deceive themselves." If you hear the word that God tells you, the truth, and you don't do anything about it, you're deceiving yourself. Because God speaks the truth. Now, turn me to Revelation. Revelation chapter 13. And beginning in verse 11. "Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. It had two horns like a lamb, but it spoke like a dragon. It exercised all the authority of the first beast on its behalf and compels the earth and those who live on it to worship the first beast, whose fatal wound was healed. It also performs great signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to earth in front of people. It deceives those who live on the earth because of the signs that it is permitted to perform in the presence of the beast, telling those who live on the earth to make an image of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. It was permitted to give breath to the image of the beast, so the image of the beast could both speak and cause whoever would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. And it makes everyone, great small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead, so that no one can buy or sell unless he has the mark, the beast's name, or the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. Let the one who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, because it is the number of a person. It is the number 666. Now, the number 7 in the Bible means the number of completion, the perfect number. And 6 means incomplete. So, incomplete, incomplete, incomplete. Well, I mention this because Scripture tells us this is going to happen. But events are unfolding in our world right now. May of next year, the World Health Organization is voting on a draft proposal. The draft proposal will require everyone to have a QR code to show that you have been vaccinated. And the draft resolution calls for all the nations of the world to give the United Nations the authority to declare pandemics, to declare shutdowns for pandemics, to declare things like wearing the mask. Well, as I was looking up the latest on that, an article came out and said, it's not going to happen. It's just a draft resolution. Well, at the meeting they proposed the draft, the representatives from the United States did not raise any objection. 134 countries that were present, no one raised an objection to this. Requiring a mark to be given to everybody. But they say, it'll just be on a card. Your vaccination card. Well, what I just saw in the news today, a TikTok influencer known as Chip Girl. Chip Girl had a chip implanted right here between her index finger and her thumb, so she can open her doors to her house, start her car. Well, she said she got an upgrade. Same chip, had the software, put her financial information on it. And she's at the grocery store, swiping her hand over the card reader to pay for her food. And it makes everyone, small and great, rich or poor, free or slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or his forehead, so that no one can buy or sell unless he has the mark. The technology is there. And she's all giggling about how cool it is that she can just swipe her hand and buy things. The technology is here. The attitude is here. Also, in today's news, there was more news about Disney and Minnie Mouse's clothing line, but I'll get there in just a minute. Turn to Romans chapter 1 first. Romans chapter 1. Beginning in verse 18. For the wrath of God, or for God's wrath, is revealed from heaven against all godlessness and unrighteousness of people who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. Since what can be known about God is evident among them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, that is, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen since the creation of the world, being understood through what has been made, As a result, people are without excuse. For though they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God or show gratitude. Instead, their thinking became worthless, and their senseless hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man, birds, four-footed animals, and reptiles. Therefore, God delivered them over in the desires of their hearts to sexual impurity, so that their bodies were degraded among themselves. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshiped and served what has been created instead of the Creator, who is praised forever. Amen. For this reason, God delivered them over to disgraceful passions. Their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. The men, in the same way, also left natural relations with women and were inflamed in their lust for one another. Men committed shameless acts with men and received in their own persons the appropriate penalty for their error. And because they did not think it worthwhile to acknowledge God, God delivered them over to a corrupt mind so they do what is not right. They are filled with all unrighteousness, evil, greed, and wickedness. They are full of envy, murder, quarrels, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, arrogant, proud, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, senseless, untrustworthy, unloving, and unmerciful. Although they know God's just sentence, that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but even applaud others who practice them. Disney has partnered with a guy that dresses up as a girl to promote their Minnie Mouse dresses. I'm not sure how firm Disney and this guy's relationship are, if he's just one that they say, this is okay, here's somebody else, just like Anheuser-Busch with their Bud Light and their guy dressing up like a girl to advertise their Bud Light. But that was in the news today. Now, let's come back to our passage. Remember, you need to know the truth. You need to apply the truth. You need to be ready. Now, when you go out, do a little jump, rapture practice, because it's looking like the rapture is going to be coming very soon. So, if you're a Christian, you might warn the people that are riding with you in the car that you might disappear at any time and that car is going to be unmanned. Well, Matthew 8 and verse 1. When he came down from the mountain, large crowds followed him. So Jesus has finished his teaching. Now it's application time. He had ended his teaching with, you need to apply. Now Matthew is going to show some people that applied what Jesus taught. Now a lot of people came down with him. And it says, right away a man with leprosy came up and knelt before him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And in the parallel in Luke, it says he was full of leprosy. Now, a leper was an outcast. He had all kind of sores all over his body. He would lose fingers, toes, ears, nose, parts of his body would just be falling off. You weren't supposed to be near a leper. They were supposed to stay outside the cities, away from people. And if they came near people, they were supposed to yell out, leper, leper, so that people could get out of the way. A large crowd is with Jesus. And here comes an outcast running up to him. He shouldn't have been near a crowd according to the Jewish law. They had leper camps. You might remember that hearing about leper colonies, because up through the early 1900s, there were places where lepers were sent to be away from everybody because it's viewed as a very communicable disease, very contagious, and no cure. Well, even in the time of Jesus, no one has been recorded of being cured in Israel except for Miriam. Now, you remember, Miriam is, there we go, Moses' sister. See, there's the Moses. Didn't say Noah's sister. Okay. That just reminds me back the time that I was in seminary and I was preaching at this church. And sometime during the sermon that I was preaching on David and Goliath, Samson slew Goliath. I don't know until the end of the sermon that I'd said that, but then I realized I had Samson slaying Goliath. The worst part is nobody seemed to notice. So Moses' sister, Miriam, got leprosy because she was with a group that decided to challenge the authority of Moses. But then she was healed. Now, there was a foreigner that was healed of leprosy, Naaman, if I remember right. But those are the only two recorded healings of leprosy. They were just outcasts. And this is the first recording of a healing of leprosy in Scripture since Naaman. Well, this leper comes running up to Jesus and he kneels down. He knew that Jesus had the authority and the power and the ability to heal him. He didn't say, "Jesus, can you do this?" He said, "Will you do this?" He recognized the authority of Jesus. "If you're willing, you can heal me." Now, here's a guy, disfigured, sores all over his body. And he's like what was described in Romans chapter 1. What our sin makes us look like before a holy God. We are full of sin. We're like that leper. And that leper came up to Jesus knowing, "You're the only hope I have for a cure." The same thing is true about our sinful condition. Jesus is the only hope we have for forgiveness of our sin. Now, Jesus, and Luke it said, looked at him with compassion. But Jesus said, "I am willing." And from this point on, lepers were brought to Jesus and healed everyone that was brought to him. Now turn with me for a minute to 2 Peter chapter 3, and let's look at where Jesus is not willing. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. "The Lord does not delay his promise, as some understand delay, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance." Jesus is not willing for anybody to perish and go to hell, but he wants everyone to be saved. He is willing to forgive all who come to him and acknowledge that he is the one that can cure us of our sin. Look at the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. Verse 12. "But to all who did receive him, he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Beginning in verse 9. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. One believes with the heart, resulting in righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, everyone who believes on him will not be put to shame. The leper recognized healing was from Jesus, and he was a physical example of our sinfulness. And what did Jesus do? He reached out his hand, maybe grasped the hand that didn't have any fingers, but he was touching an unclean man, and he healed him. And then he tells them something that might not make sense. Then Jesus told him, see that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. In Leviticus chapter 13 and 14, it talks about various skin diseases. And in chapter 14, it talks about what you do if you're cured. You go to the priest. The priest is the one that will certify that you've been cured. Now, the priest is the one that would say you have leprosy too. He would look at the type of skin rash you have, and God laid out in Leviticus 13 which ones were contagious and which ones weren't. The ones that were contagious made you an outcast. And so Jesus says, go to the priest and have the priest certify that you have been cured. Why? Because if the priest certified the cure, then later when they investigate the cure, they're confounded because they certified the cure, but they didn't like Jesus. So what are they going to do? They'd be caught in a trap. And then later they're going to try to kill Jesus. But they would have already said, oh yeah, this is right. He has been cured. And others would say, then why do you say Jesus can't do it if you certified what he did? But, like so many of us, the leper went and told everybody. And it says in the Gospel of Luke, in the parallel passage, Jesus could no longer go out publicly. Well, in our passage today, and our passage coming on Sunday, we see the leper here applying what he knew, what Jesus taught, and Sunday we'll look at another person, a military officer, a centurion. That would be like that colonel David was talking to me earlier. Someone in the military of high rank over a large number of soldiers. And how both of them applied what they had heard about Jesus. What are you going to do with what you hear about Jesus? He is the one that has the words of truth. Are you going to be like those in Romans chapter 1, even though you know the truth? You're going to suppress it, push it down so you don't have to listen to it? Or are you going to follow what Jesus says to do even when it's not comfortable? Because a lot of times it's not going to be comfortable to do things Jesus' way. But it's the right way. It's the only way we're cured of the consequences of sin. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Which choice? Which road are you going to go down? the one that leads to destruction. I didn't read some of the other passages. If you look at 2 Thessalonians, it also talks about when the Antichrist rises to power, the people that reject the truth will be given a strong delusion. So basically, if you won't believe the truth about Jesus, God's going to make it, you're going to believe every lie. You'll understand the truth about Jesus, the truth about sinfulness, but you'll buy everything else. You'll be buying the snake oil from the Antichrist because you won't accept the basic truth that God is God and He alone can save us. So when you see people putting a chip in their hand and giggling about it, when God's word has been clear about the mark of the beast. Now, the person might say, oh, I didn't get a mark that says 666. Now, I don't know, but I would not be surprised if somewhere inside that little microchip are the numbers 666. But not. I'm not saying it's there. I'm just saying I wouldn't be surprised if it would be. Because the devil is getting more and more blatant with what he's doing. What are you going to do with the truth? Christ is returning soon. Are you ready? If you're not, in the foyer, there's a DVD and a VHS tape, and I think we got a player for each of them, at least the DVD, that shows you what to do and what to prepare in the 7 years. Because if you miss the rapture, there's 7 years of tribulation, but you can be saved after the rapture. At least 200 million people will be saved during that 7 year period, but it's going to be real tough. Most will die for their faith. But I will say, the day after the rapture, these pews aren't going to be empty. There'll be a lot of people saying, we missed the boat. What do we do now? My office is full of books. I'm not taking the Bible with me because I'm going to meet the Word in person. Bibles will be here. Now, I hope none of you are going to be here during that period. What does it say in Romans 10? If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, Jesus Lord, you will, not might, you will be saved. That doesn't mean you have to know everything. This might be the first time you heard about the mark of the beast. That's okay. You don't have to know that to be saved. All you have to know is you're a sinner and God gives forgiveness. The rest, you just learn as you go. Stand with me for our closing prayer. Dear God, I thank you for showing us what's going to happen, for letting us see what's happening in the world, and applying your word to examine it, that we can see the pieces are falling into place for the rise of the Antichrist and the one world government. Let us be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves, and desire that no one perish, just as you desire, and letting your light shine through our lives that people will be drawn to you. In Jesus' name, as you pray in our situation, amen.